Luke chapter 24. And we are actually going to work our way through this entire chapter as we look at it today. As we see several accounts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that several accounts that took place on the day of his resurrection. Now, we read the eyewitness accounts earlier with our scripture reading, as we saw that the ladies who came to the tomb saw the stone rolled away, saw that Jesus was not there, and that the angels met them and told them that he was not there, he is risen as he said. And we've read the eyewitness accounts of that, and we're going to have another portion of that here in Luke chapter 24. But as we look at this, what I find interesting here pointed out in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24 is that Jesus did something very specific after his resurrection in order to ground the disciples' faith. And that is, he took them back to what he said. He took them back to his word. In other words, it was not just enough for them to see the empty tomb, see him risen in the flesh. Jesus did not want their faith to rest in an experience that they had, no matter how great that was. But Jesus took them back to his word, both written and spoken, to ground their faith in the word of God and not in an experience. And in three of these accounts, all three that we're going to see here in Luke chapter 24, whether it's an angel, whether it's Jesus himself, in every account, they go back and say, what did Jesus say? What did he say before his death, burial, and resurrection? What was written of him in the scriptures before his death, burial, and resurrection? And in doing so, God is grounding their faith in the word of God, and not in what they see, not in what they experience, not in what they feel. But the foundation is set in the Word of God. And that is what we need for us to understand as well today is this. That we must make the Word of God the foundation for what we believe. Not our own ideas, not our own experiences, but the Word of God. So let's look at our first account here in Luke chapter 24. And let's read verses, we'll read verses 1 through 10 at first, but we will work our way through the entire chapter as we get through the sermon here today. But Luke chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." Now this is referring to the women who came back up in verse 55 of the previous chapter. It says, "The women also, which were with Jesus from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid." So it's these women returning on the first day of the week to finish embalming the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 of chapter 24, the Bible says, "And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Verse number 8, "And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles." It's not enough to simply believe something. Just because you believe something does not make it right. What makes it right is what that belief is based upon. We, not too long ago, did a study, a sermon series through Hebrews chapter 11, looking at faith. Faith is only as good as its foundation, what it's built upon. I could have faith that, you know, I could jump off this hill right here and not be harmed, but the reality is gravity is going to take effect, and it's going to happen whether I believe it or not. That would be a false foundation to build a belief upon. For years, before anyone had circumnavigated the globe, The widely held belief was that the earth was flat and that if you went too far, you'd fall off the edge and who knows what would happen then. Now, it was never proved. There was no foundation for that belief, but yet it was a very strongly held belief. And it wasn't until someone was actually able to sail all the way around and see, nope, I can start from one point, go west, and come right back to that same point that I started. And so the reality is the foundation that you build your belief upon is more important than the fact that you believe something. And when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is an undisputable historical fact that there is mountains of evidence that proves that Jesus Christ did indeed rise from the dead bodily. It was not just an illusion. It was not just a spirit, but in the flesh, in a body, he arose from the dead. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Luke writes and states that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Infallible meaning couldn't be refuted. It could not be disputed. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 3 through 8 states that after Jesus rose from the dead, he was seen by Peter, he was seen by the 12 apostles, and then was seen by 500 people at one time, as well as by James and Paul and other eyewitnesses. In our text today, we have read and we've heard of other eyewitness reports of the tomb. We've seen the ladies come and see the stone rolled away. We've seen the angels declare to them that Christ had risen. But in each of these instances, as I said before, the angel and Jesus, as we continue reading in this passage, takes them back to the Word of God and says, what did Jesus say about this? That's what you believe. Use what God has said to interpret what you see. Don't let what you see determine what you believe. Set your foundation on the Word of God. You say, Pastor, why are you stressing the importance of having the Bible as and the Word of God as the foundation for what we believe? Because the truth is, if we build our beliefs on anything other than the Word of God, it's building on an unstable foundation. It's building on the wrong foundation. And anything built on an unstable foundation will eventually collapse, even your beliefs. And that is why we're going to see here that the importance of making the Scriptures the basis for what we believe. So let's notice from this first account here, why is it important to build your faith on the foundation of the Word of God? Well, notice number one, in this account of the ladies who came to the tomb, it's important to build your faith on the foundation of the Word of God because the Word of God clarifies confusion. The Word of God clarifies confusion. As we've read in verses 1 through 4 here, it says that the ladies came to the tomb. They saw the stone rolled away. They went in and looked, and they didn't see the body of Jesus there. And in verse number 4, it says, and it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout. That word perplexed means that they were at a loss. They were confused as to what they were seeing. They didn't know how to interpret what they were seeing in front of their own eyes. They didn't understand what was going on. And the two angels appeared to them, verse 4 and 5 says, and said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Christ isn't here. He's risen. And then he says, as he said, remember, verse 6 says, remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And what the angel repeats here in verse 7 is a quotation from a few chapters back in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 22, where he says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. The angel took them back to the exact thing that Jesus had told his disciples several weeks before his crucifixion and his burial and now his resurrection. He says, remember what Jesus told you. Remember what he taught you. In verse 8, the Bible says, and they remembered his words. This is more than just simply recalling it back. It's like, oh yeah, he did say that. This has the idea of they remembered what he said and they applied it to the reality of what they saw in front of them. In other words, they made God's words the basis for what they were seeing, the basis for their faith, and not just what they saw. They interpreted what they saw based on God's words. They let God's word determine their belief about what they saw. They say, okay, Pastor, that's you're saying the same thing multiple times here, but it's very important for us to get this. There's going to be a lot that happens in our lives that it's quite confusing if we're honest. Why does this happen? Why did that happen? What's going on with this? Why, you know, how is this, you know, how's this work? And unless we go back to the scriptures and interpret what we see around us through the lens of scripture, what God says in his word, we're going to remain confused and perplexed about what's going on. God gives us his word, and it is only through his word that we can make sense of life and all that is happening around us. You know, it's often those times when, you know, tragedy happens, or, you know, something happens that's very unexpected. You know, a cancer diagnosis, marriage problems, death of a loved one, job issues, you know, whatever. You fill in the blank there. And it's at those times when we get confused and we're looking around like, Lord, you know, what's going on? How do I understand this? And we have to go back to the Word of God and let God determine what we believe about that. So it'd be very easy to look at circumstances and say, well, God must not love me because he let this happen. Or God isn't just because this is happening. That's where we have to go back to the Word of God and say, no, God is the same. He does not change. The Bible tells me that God is always good, that God is gracious, that he's loving, that he's just, he's whole. All these things, who God is, how he describes himself in his word, that's how I have to believe he is. Even if my circumstances try to tell me something different. You must build your faith upon the foundation of the word of God, because the word of God clarifies confusion in our life. If we go to any other source to try to find wisdom or understanding for what's going on around us or what might be confusing us in life, we're not going to get clarity. It's going to add confusion to it. It's only when we go to the Word of God. And as the ladies came to the tomb, they saw the evidence that Jesus was risen. But they still were perplexed. They were confused. What really happened here? And the angel takes them back and says, remember what he said. Remember what Jesus told you. Ground your faith on the word that he spoke, the words that we have recorded in Scripture, and let that be the basis of your faith. But number two, as we continue in this, we find another account. And all these accounts happened the same day of the resurrection. The Bible tells us it was early in the morning when Christ arose. And so all these accounts happened at some point during the day. And so verse 13, join me there in reading chapter 24, verse 13, we see another account. It says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, this is Jesus, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but they saw him not. Then he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking to them now, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now notice verse 32, it says, And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So the second account on the day of the resurrection of Christ was not just the angels appearing to the ladies at the tomb, but now two disciples are walking from Jerusalem to a small village called Emmaus, not far from Jerusalem. And as was the custom during that day, if you were going the same route with someone else, you would just join up with them and converse and just chat as you went along the way. It was not uncommon for strangers just to show up by your side if you were going the same direction, because at this time there was a lot of problems with robbers and thieves along the way, and so the more you had in multitude, the safer you were as well. So there were some practical benefits to that as well. But these two disciples are walking along the road, and Jesus joins them and notices that they're discussing the things that had just happened. The trial of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, his burial, the fact that the ladies came and told the disciples that Jesus had risen. They saw angels. They were discussing these things and not sure about what to believe about it. But they said, what Jesus noticed with them, he said, Why are you sad as you talk about these things? And the key to why they were discouraged and sad is found in verse 21, as they describe all these things to Jesus, that says, But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. What this is saying is that these disciples were discouraged, they were disappointed, they were upset at all that had happened, because they were expecting Jesus to do something different than what he actually did. Much like the crowd who greeted Jesus as he rode in on that triumphal entry day on Palm Sunday, as they shouted, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King, the Son of David, whose kingdom is forever. They were looking for Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom and deliver them from the Roman bondage at that time. These disciples said, We expected that that's what he was going to do. They said, We trusted in it. We were confident that this is what was going to happen, that he should have redeemed Israel. They were expecting Jesus to liberate them from that Roman government. They had pinned their hopes on what they thought Jesus should have done instead of what he said he was going to do. They built their belief on the wrong thinking, and when their expectations were not met, they didn't know what to do. So this is number two, the reason why do we need to build our faith upon the foundation of the Word of God. Number two, because the Word of God corrects wrong thinking. The Word of God corrects our wrong thinking. Just as these disciples had wrong thinking about what Jesus should have done, many times we find ourselves in the same situation, where we have expectations. Well, God should do this for me, or God should do this. Let me say, be very, very careful when you start saying God should have, because at that very moment, you are saying that you know better than God. But what did Jesus do to correct their wrong thinking? The Bible says in verse 25 and 26, he took them back to the scriptures. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's a reference to the Old Testament scriptures, the Old Testament prophets. And in verse 27, it says, beginning at Moses, which would be the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus took them back to the scriptures and said, here's what God's word said about what Jesus would do. Here's what God's word said Jesus would do. Correct your thinking, because this is what God said. And in verse 32, when they finally realized that it was Jesus with them, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? It was the scriptures that corrected their wrong thinking. It was the scriptures that brought them back to the truth. And Jesus said, was teaching them, ground your faith on what God has said in his word. Not on what you think, not on what you expect. Build your faith on what God has said is true. Again, there are times when all of us, if we're honest, are tempted to put our own ideas as the basis for our faith. We think, if God truly loved me, he wouldn't let this divorce happen in my life. If God was truly good, then why is he letting, he wouldn't let all this evil in the world go unpunished. If God loved me, he would fix whatever. Again, that's making your expectations, your ideas, the basis for your faith, and not God's word. Don't make your expectations the basis of your faith. It will eventually crumble and fall apart. The only sure foundation is God's word. Matter of fact, that's what Jesus himself taught in Matthew chapter 7 as he gave the Sermon on the Mount, which has the what we call the Beatitudes, which are fairly well known about blessed are the peacemakers and blessed are they that are humble and poor in spirit and all these things. But Jesus concluded that message and he says that those who hear his words and do them would be like a wise man who built his house on the solid rock foundation. He said, that type of house, rains can come, winds can blow, it's going to stand firm. We know a little bit about that being here in Newfoundland. Solid foundation is important. Unfortunately, we've seen as, hurricanes have come through and hit the coast sometimes that, it washes things away. But a solid foundation will stand firm. And Jesus said, those who hear my words and don't do them, they're like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The inevitable end is that is going to collapse. It is going to be destroyed. And God wants us to take his word and build our faith, our lives upon his word, because that does not change. That is the solid foundation for our lives. And as Jesus walked with these disciples on his day, on his resurrection day, he takes them back to the scriptures, says, it's not your expectations. Don't build your faith on that. Go back to the word of God. But number three, we find the last part of the chapter here. Verse 36 picks up where these two disciples went back to Jerusalem. They found the 12 apostles. And they were telling him what they had just experienced, what they saw in the way. And verse 36 says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified, verse 37 says, and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed him his hands and his feet. Verse 41, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. In verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. If we go back to verse 12 of this same chapter, the Bible tells us that Peter went to the sepulcher and looked and saw that the linen clothes were laid there. Jesus' body was not there. And it says he departed wondering at himself at that which was come to pass. Number three, the last reason we see in this chapter of why we need to build our faith upon the Word of God is because the Word of God surpasses experiences. It surpasses experiences. It is more reliable than experience. It is true. Experiences could be deceiving, but it far surpasses any experience that we could ever have in this life. Peter went to the tomb, as we said, and he saw the empty tomb. He saw the empty grave clothes laid by themselves. Both of those should have been enough to convince Peter that Jesus was risen. But especially the grave clothes, because if the body had simply been stolen or moved to a different location, they wouldn't have unwrapped the body and left the grave clothes there. They would have just taken it all. But Peter saw this, it says, and he went away wondering. The word wondering means to be deeply disturbed about something. It has that element of doubt in it, like what's really happening here? And when Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples in the upper room, the apostles here, the Bible says they were meeting, the two disciples were telling them what they had just seen, and Jesus just appeared right in the middle of the room. Now, that would be a frightening experience for any of us, I dare say. And the disciples thought that they were seeing a ghost, a spirit. And so Jesus offered them bodily proof. He said, look at my body. I have skin. I have bones. Look at the wounds from the nails on the cross. But even though the disciples saw Jesus, they saw the prints of the nails in his hands and his feet, they still didn't believe their eyes. Notice verse 41, it says, and while they yet believed not for joy. What does that mean? It just simply means they thought it was too good to be true. It's too good to be true. They could not believe their eyes. Like, this has to be something else. This can't be what my eyes are seeing. They believed not for joy. They thought it was too good to be true. And so what did Jesus do? He took them back to the Scriptures again. Back to the Scriptures. And he said, all things had to be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms, referring to the entirety of the Old Testament. He says, go back and see what was written of me in the Old Testament, in the Scriptures. Now, what's significant about this, again, is the fact that these disciples, by all counts and purposes, these disciples had a tremendous experience. They were in a closed room. It was just them. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there, right in the middle. Fantastic experience for anyone. No doubt one that they never forgot. But Jesus did not want them to base their faith on that experience alone. He took them back to the Scriptures and grounded their faith on what the Bible taught about him. Now, I'm emphasizing that point for a reason. As we've looked at each of these accounts, Because there are many today who would say that you have to have some sort of experience in order to have your sins forgiven and be saved. Or you have to have some sort of experience to, you know, live for God and be right with Him. You have to experience Jesus in some way. That's not what Jesus Himself did with the disciples. He said, no, your faith needs to be grounded in the Word of God, not what you've seen or what you've experienced. When we ground our faith on the Word of God, then what we see and what we experience can supplement that, could reinforce that, but that's not the basis for our faith. That's not what we are establishing our faith upon. We build our faith upon God's Word and what God says. And so even with an experience as fantastic as seeing the empty tomb, seeing the grave clothes by themselves, having Jesus appear right in the middle of the room, even with those types of experiences, Jesus said, go back to the Scriptures because that is what is reliable. Several years later, the Apostle Peter, the one who went and looked into the tomb himself, the Apostle Peter would write of another experience in the book of 2 Peter. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he describes an experience that they had when they were up on a mountain with Jesus. And Jesus was transfigured before them. They got to see Jesus in a lot of His glory. And with Him appeared Moses and Elijah, and they heard God the Father speak and say, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." They had a fantastic experience there, and Peter would write about it, and he said, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount." But then he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Peter said, even in that great experience that we had up on the mount, seeing Jesus transfigured before us, seeing Him in His glory, hearing God speak from heaven, he said, we have a more sure word than even that experience. And he says, it's the written Scriptures. It's the Bible that we have in our hands today. That's why Jesus over and over again says, search the Scriptures, for in them they speak of Me. And just as Jesus did with the disciples after the resurrection, we must build our beliefs upon the foundation of the Word of God, not our own experiences. If you've been coming here to Grace Baptist Church for any length of time, you know that that is what we seek to do here. That we prioritize the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Why? Because I don't want you to take my word for it. It's not my word that's going to make a difference in your life. It's God's words. I don't want your faith to rest in what I say. I want your faith to rest in what Grace Baptist Church teaches. I want you to see from the Scriptures why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do. Because if your faith is not grounded in the Word of God, not built upon what God says, it's built upon a shaky foundation, an unstable foundation that will eventually lead to a collapse and lead to greater confusion and uncertainty in your life. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a vital part of our doctrine as Christians. It is a vital part of our beliefs because, as we saw at the beginning of the service, without the resurrection of Christ, we have nothing. Without the resurrection of Christ, Christ would simply be just another good man who had some ideas and some teachings, but died and left it behind. But the difference between Bible Christianity and every other religion in the world is the fact that we have a risen Savior who we serve, and who we can have a personal relationship with. The founder of every other religion lies in the grave where they were buried. But the author and finisher of our faith, as the book of Hebrews says, is alive forevermore. and we can know Him personally. And God wants every one of us to have that personal relationship with Him based upon what He has said in His Word, not based on what we've experienced or what our own ideas are. So as we consider these three accounts on this resurrection day, we need to build our foundation upon the Word of God, because the Word of God clarifies confusion in our life. We need to build our faith upon the foundation of the Word of God, because the Word of God corrects our wrong thinking. And we need to build our faith upon the foundation of the Word of God, because the Word of God far surpasses any experience. So the question for us today is this: what are you building your faith on? What is it that you are anchoring your faith, your beliefs to? If it's anything other than the Word of God and what God has said in it, it's unreliable. The Bible says, "Thy word is true, and it is truth." God's word is true. Are you building your faith on the teachings of the Word of God? Are you willing to believe something simply because God has said it in His Word? Or do you question God's Word when it doesn't match up with your experience? God wants us to build our faith on the foundation of His Word. And we must make God's Word our foundation, not our own beliefs or ideas or experiences. Let's bow for prayer.